Grandma,
you want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen. Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Kids, come on. Get in here. Hurry. Hustle. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Read a story. That sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, kids. One day, a messenger came to Jesus, bringing news from Mary and Martha in Bethany. The message was very short, just like a telegram. Lord, he whom you love is ill. That was all. It didn't even say, please come at once. The two sisters were so sure Jesus would come as soon as he could. But he didn't go at once. In fact, he didn't do anything about it. Not that he wasn't sorry for Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. No, indeed, for the Bible says that he loved them. Then why did he stay around for 2 days before leaving? That's what the disciples want to know. But all he would say was that this illness of Lazarus was for the glory of God. By and by, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. That's fine, said the disciples. If he has gone to sleep, he will get better. Then Jesus told them plainly that Lazarus was dead. He had used the word sleep because that is what death really is. It's just like going to bed at night, not waking up till someone calls you in the morning. Now they start out for Bethany, the disciples wondering how Jesus knew Lazarus was dead and whether they would be in time for the funeral. They weren't. Jesus did not seem to be in the least bit of a hurry, and when they arrived in Bethany, they found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days already. Lord, said Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. No doubt she was right, and she couldn't understand why Jesus had not come when she sent for him. But now she said something that pleased Jesus very much. Even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. This showed that even though she was the busy one about the house, cumbered with much serving, she loved and trusted Jesus just as much as Mary. Your brother will rise again, Jesus said tenderly. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Martha replied. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus in one of the most glorious statements he ever made. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, said Martha, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God. What a wonderful confession. Where's Mary? Asked Jesus. Martha went to the house and found her sister in the midst of many mourners who were trying to comfort her. The master is here, whispered Martha. He is calling for you. Silently, Mary rose and went with her sister. Thinking that the two women were going to the tomb to weep, the mourners followed them. It was a sad, sad procession. Mary was weeping bitterly, and the others were crying with her. Then Mary caught sight of Jesus. Lord, she sobbed, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He didn't try to explain. Where have you laid him? He asked gently. Come and see, she said. So they went to the tomb. Everybody was weeping now. Jesus cried too. The Bible says so in these two most precious words. Jesus wept. Do you know, boys and girls, this is a trick question that sometimes you'll get in Bible quizzes. They ask, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? And that is it. Jesus wept. Great tears rolled down the cheeks of the King of Lovers as he cried in sympathy for the heartbroken people. See how he loved him, some of the onlookers said. Yes, indeed. And they might have said, see how he loves everybody. For it was not for Mary and Martha alone that he wept that day, but for all who mourn in every age, young and old, rich and poor. Those tears of Jesus tells us how much he cares for us. If you're feeling sad and lonely, just now, think about them. They will comfort you, for his great heart of love is still touched with our grief. Coming to the tomb, which was a cave with a large stone rolled in front of it, the mourners stood still, wondering what Jesus was going to do. "Roll away the stone," he commanded. The mourners were horrified. Martha, ever practical, urged him not to do it. "He has been dead for 4 days," she said. She meant that his body had already begun to decay. Perceiving their unbelief, Jesus answered with a note of authority in his voice, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" The stone was taken away. Then Jesus began to pray. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me," he said, as though he had been praying about this for some time. Then he went on, "I know that you hear me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me." By this time, a great silence had fallen upon the crowd. Everyone had ceased sobbing. They were all now anxiously looking at Jesus. What was he planning to do? Surely he was not going to try to bring a man back to life who had been dead 4 days. Suddenly Jesus commanded, "Lazarus, come out." All eyes turned towards the mouth of the cave. There was a rustling sound within. Something, somebody, was moving about inside. Surely it could not be, but it was. A moment later, Lazarus appeared. He was a shocking sight, for a cloth was wrapped around his face, and his hands and feet were bound in the bandages that undertakers wound around the dead in those days. How he reached the mouth of the cave like that is a mystery. But there he was, and the people gasped in awe. "Unbind him, let him go," said Jesus, and they did. Then what a joyous scene took place. I imagine Lazarus threw his arms around Mary and Martha and kissed him. Then he shook hands with all his old friends who had never dreamed they would see him alive again. Maybe they felt him all over to make sure he was real. He was. Perhaps they asked him what it felt like to be dead, but he couldn't remember anything. "It was just like being fast asleep," he told them. Thus did Jesus again turn sorrow into joy, tears to smiles of happiness. By and by, Mary and Martha looked around to thank him for all he had done for them, but he was nowhere to be seen. He had just walked quietly away. In almost no time at all after Lazarus stepped out of his tomb, all Jerusalem knew about it. The news spread like wildfire. Many Israelites had gone to Bethany for his funeral. Now they heard that the man they had seen buried was alive. Jesus, the preacher from Galilee, had brought him back from the dead. It was by far the biggest news to hit the city in many a long day. The common people were thrilled. It made them more sure than ever that Jesus was their long-hoped-for Messiah. But the rulers were much upset. Such a miracle, they knew, would turn the hearts of all Israel to this man who was breaking down all their traditions. In their anger, some of them began to suggest that there would be trouble with the Romans if Jesus wasn't stopped before he went any further. The high priest even said it might be wise to have him arrested and put to death. Never had the old city of David been so stirred. Meanwhile, in Bethany, a Pharisee called Simon was putting on a big party with Jesus and Lazarus as the guests of honor. Jesus had once healed Simon of leprosy. That's why he was so friendly. The house was full of guests, including Mary and Martha and many of the disciples. When supper time came, Martha served as usual. She couldn't help it, and they couldn't get on without her. Mary, however, had no liking for such things. She was thinking of Jesus and how much he had done for her. In a way, she too had been raised from the dead. Had he not saved her from a very wicked life? She longed to tell him how grateful she was and how much she loved him, but how? She had an idea. But dare she act on it? She had thought about it a long time and saved up for it. And, well, maybe now was the time. After all, he wouldn't be here much longer if the wicked rulers in Jerusalem had their way with him. Slowly, she walked towards Jesus, unnoticed by the guests who were busily eating and chatting with one another. From beneath some covering, maybe the folds of her skirt, she bought a lovely alabaster jar full of expensive perfume. Quickly, she poured some of it on the head and the feet of her beloved master. At once, everybody paused, sniffing. "What has happened?" they asked. Recognizing the agreeable aroma, then they turned towards Jesus, where Mary, weeping hard, was wiping his feet with her long, beautiful hair. For a moment, everyone was struck dumb. Nobody could think of anything to say. Then Judas, who looked after the disciples' money bag, blurted out, "Why this waste? Why was not this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" Not that he cared for the poor. It was just to make the others think he was pious. But he made a big mistake. "Why do you trouble the woman?" said Jesus. "For she has done a beautiful thing to me. You always had the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial." Then he made a remarkable prophecy. "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And so it has happened throughout all the 1900 years that have passed since then. Mary's lovely deed will never be forgotten. But Simon was troubled. He knew Mary well. He had known her when she was a very bad girl, and he couldn't understand why Jesus would let a woman with such a past behave like this. He thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus read his thoughts. "Simon," he said, "I have something to say to you." "What is it?" asked Simon. Then Jesus told him a story about a man who was owed money by two people. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. Seeing they had nothing with which to pay, the man forgave them both. "Tell me," said Jesus, "which will love him most?" "The one who was forgiven most," said Simon. "Right," said Jesus. Then, pointing to Mary, he said, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then speaking to Mary, he said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Simon was shocked. He had thought that because Mary had once been a sinner, she must always be a sinner. Now Jesus said that it wasn't so. Mary was no longer a sinner in the eyes of God. She had been forgiven. Her sins, all of them, bad as they were, had been wiped away. She was as dear to God as if she had never sinned. She was his child now and forever. This was the secret Jesus told, the glorious secret of redeeming love. For a little while, Jesus kept out of sight in the village of Ephraim, near to the wilderness. By so doing, he avoided the priests and the rulers who now made up their minds to get rid of him. Then, as the Passover drew near, he set out once more for Jerusalem. The road took him through dear old Bethany to the Mount of Olives. Here he stopped and surprised his disciples by asking two of them to do a very strange thing. They were to go into a nearby village and borrow a donkey. Jesus knew exactly where it was, just inside the gate. He also knew the donkey's age. It was so young, no one had sat upon it yet. It could well be that he had seen this fine little animal the last time he passed this way, and now that he needed a donkey, he remembered it. "Untie it and bring it here." Naturally, the disciples wondered what the owner would say. Jesus knew their thoughts and said, "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Still wondering why Jesus should want a donkey, the disciples walked over to the village. There, just where Jesus had told them, they found the young colt and untied it. All right, that's all I'm going to read today, and I'm going to leave you in suspense so you will wonder why Jesus needs that baby colt. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Warning, you're listening to news and entertainment the control media don't want you to hear. You're listening to KKK Radio on KKKRadio.com.